Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272. Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.
And good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is Gray and Ideas and the Gray and Ideas Radio Show. And as Satan said, we're going to go 24/7, 365 days a year in 2014. And this morning, I've got the whole gang here. I have A.A. Ron calling from Florida. Good morning, A.A. Ron.
What up, man?
What up, man? What are you doing?
Right now I'm replacing an engine coolant sensor in a car. that's what I'm doing right this very second.
You always are doing something. If you're not pulling pork, you're changing the oil in a car. Washing your clothes.
Wrestling.
Watching kids wrestle. I mean, he's always doing something. And there I hear Laurie, our food news Jersey style girl, who's actually in Jersey style doing her Jersey thing this week. And what are you doing, Laurie, over there in Jersey?
Good morning. Enjoying my family. I miss my family, so, but I miss you more already. I know it's only been one day, but I miss you.
I know. I know. You and I have been sending messages back and forth on Facebook, and probably AA Ron's ready to puke with all the hearts that have been flying around, but anyway.
I blocked y'all. Yeah, about 50 other people now. Let's go see how many.
I was going to say, you and everybody else.
Yeah.
So this week we've got on the show, we've got Saber Ricci, the chef to the stars, for the stars, in the stars, wherever the stars go. She's there. She'll be coming on here as our first guest in a few minutes. And then we have Linda Calabrese Hanks, and the Calabrese part's important because she's an Italian cook and has Italian recipes, newsletters, cooking classes, and has a new book about Italiano food. So we're having her on. And then last but not least, we have Joshua Adam Hammond, which this dude, first of all, hey, Ron, I don't know if you saw the promos for the show. This guy could be the spitting image of your twin.
I know you keep saying that. That's what I keep seeing all over the place.
So I think we found your long lost brother. He's going to be doing this, and I really like this guy's music. It's my kind of music, and probably not everybody else's kind of music, but this guy is really good. And we got a really good show lined up. And without further ado, of course, we have the Jersey style food news girl here for a reason. We need food news. So, Laurie, I hope you have some.
I have some, of course. Actually, I was going through it this morning, and I said, oh, I found a cute article. So here we go.
Here we go.
For more than 100 years, Jelly Bean has been the leading name in the jelly bean industry, with flavors like buttered popcorn, the marshmallow, I didn't even know they made that, sounds good, and bubble gum. And now, da-da-da-da, Jelly Bean is making a beer, Jelly Bean.
All right. I
a
love
beer
it already.
Jelly Bean. I knew you would. I'll have to be searching for that for you.
So, I mean, okay, you know I'm going to interrupt you right away.
Of course you are. I thought Aaron was going to say something, but he's actually kind of silent. He's just jumping up and down.
I was going to say something, but he cut me off. So,
well, go ahead. You go first.
Let me go ahead and clarify a couple of things for you guys. Jelly Bellies, crazy flavored jelly beans are terrible. Popcorn is the butter-flavored popcorn should not go with the texture of a jelly bean. Those two things don't go together. It makes your brain go haywire, and I think it literally will cause eyeballs to pop out of people's heads. Now, you combine that with the fact that Jelly Belly also makes Birdie Bots, which are the Harry Potter flavors.
Yeah.
What's it
booger
called?
And vomit. Booger, vomit, sardine, dirt, earthworm.
No.
Oh, yeah. And so there was a time where I thought that was the coolest thing ever, and I would make sample bags, and I would just take all of the vomit flavors and put them in a sample bag, and I would put sample bags of Jelly Bellies at my desk. And as people came by and picked up the sardine, or they would pick up these sample bags and then get a mouthful of puke, and it was awesome for me to watch. Just thought I would share my Jelly Belly story with you.
Did they really make that?
Oh, yeah. You can
you're not making this up.
Candy shop. No. You can go to any candy shop and you can buy Birdie Bot. And they're made by Jelly Belly, and they literally make every nasty flavor. They have earwax, booger, vomit, dirt, earthworm, grass.
I can't believe I want to do an article on that. I got to look for that.
Yeah. Look for Birdie Bot. Yeah, and they all spawned from Harry Potter movies. The Jelly Bellies made the candy that they ate in Harry Potter.
That is funny. And what I was going to say, but your story is much better than mine. I guess I have a question. Why in the world? But now I know if they get boogers and vomit, what difference does it make? But why would they make beer-flavored jelly beans? Don't kids eat jelly beans for the most part? The
thing is, well, if I can continue reading.
Yes, you may.
I will get to that part. Anyway, it says, Jelly Belly debuted draft beer as its newest flavor on Saturday, while the news comes only 1 month after the December release of its Tabasco dark chocolate flavor. I missed that one. We got to try that. Have you had that one, Aaron?
Good.
Tabasco dark chocolate? It does sound good. Like a little snip.
No,
I
haven't
had that one. He's like a connoisseur of fine jelly beans.
Dude, you're getting into jelly beans. You're in my wheelhouse right now. When it comes to sweets and candies, that's where it's at. Is the jelly beans and the fruit flavored stuff. That's where it's at. But the problem is, and this is only maybe it's the connection between my taste buds and my brain. But the problem is, certain flavors shouldn't have certain textures.
You're thinking that
Tabasco and dark chocolate is going to be awesome. You pop it in your mouth, and then all of a sudden, oh, my God, what is this wretched thing that is in my mouth that I can't get down fast enough? That's the biggest fear, is that the texture is going to be wrong. And that's the problem. Well, I'm telling
it's
you.
It's very important, the textures.
The idea of butter-flavored popcorn was such a cool thing to me. The butter-flavored popcorn Jelly Belly is terrible because of the texture.
it's like chewing on a butter flavored loogie, right?
Exactly.
Butter flavored
what? It doesn't work.
No, Laura. I know you don't know what a loogie is. I'll explain it later. So go ahead, go back to your story.
Oh my gosh! But anyway, the latest addition to the Jelly Bean family is one that has been 3 years in the making. They say our fans have been asking for beer jelly beans for years, says Rob Schwagen, Jelly Belly's vice president of marketing. And he said it took a few years to perfect it, but we think we have it right. So to pay homage to Jelly Belly's German ancestry, the company matched the taste of the candy to a Hefeweizen ale. I don't know how, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know of Hefeweizen, but I haven't had a beer like that. It says, but they don't add the draft beer jelly beans to the cocktail bar just yet. So there's no alcohol.
Well, get them started early. Yeah, I can see the two-year-old sucking on a beer jelly bean. They should work a deal out of Budweiser.
That would be fun putting them in. I could see them like jelly beans in a drink, like flavored jelly beans in a cocktail. I wonder if they do that already.
Probably do. Hey, wait a minute. We have the connoisseur. Have you ever had flavored jelly beans in a drink there, A-Rod?
I infuse vodka with jelly beans.
Do you?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I would never think to do that. But
You take all of your favorite flavors of Jelly Bellies. Because the thing about, and it's specific, I'm specific to a brand in saying Jelly Bellies, and the only reason I'm specific to a brand is because they're intended for you to mix flavors.
Right.
Even with Jelly Belly packages, they tell you the mixology of flavors. So you put specific flavors together to make a different flavor. So it's the coolest thing about it. You can mix them up. So you combine the flavors that you want into a bottle of vodka. It dissolves in a couple of days, and now you have flavored vodka with whatever flavor you want.
I can't. It makes sense if it's a strong jelly bean flavor. You know, I want to do some research. I want to do another article on jelly beans. I can't believe this. I'm not a big candy person anyway, so I wouldn't know. But you have me fascinated about the jelly beans.
Oh, you use jelly beans and throw them in a pan into your chutney and sweeten your chutney with jelly beans. You can cook. You can do everything with jelly beans.
We'll be buying jelly beans at Walmart.
I bet they got them by the time there.
Yeah. It says the recipe includes top secret ingredients, but that they can't tell you. But what they can tell you is it doesn't include alcohol. And they say while that detail has some disappointment, others have taken Twitter to announce their enthusiasm about the new bite-sized treat. So I guess some people are disappointed they don't get all excited over it. But you can't please everyone with beer jelly beans.
This kind of combined the whole idea of like beer nuts and beer. They just put it all in one. So you just go up to the bar and just eat beer jelly bellies and forget drinking the beer, I guess. I mean, I'm sure they don't have alcohol in them, right?
No, it says it. Yeah, there's no alcohol. Well, because I already answered the question, did the jelly beans and, you know, did be a lot of trouble with that one.
You notice how we sit very quietly because we never know when you're finished.
You're ready
with your
for me
story.
To finish. I'm done with that one. It's nice.
All
to
right.
Yourself.
Let's see. We got 3 minutes, and I don't see the Chef to the Stars calling in yet. So you got a short one?
No.
Of course
wait,
she doesn't.
Yes, I do. let me just scroll down here for a second.
Hey, Ron. What? Has she ever had a short story?
No, short story. Laurie? The shortest story Laurie has.
I know there's something here. I'm still scrolling. Some of them are really long. I don't know.
What were you saying, Aaron? The shortest story she had was what?
Ooh, there's a squirrel. That was my next. I was going straight there.
I have a fun one about Nutella.
We did have a good one with it, though.
Do you guys remember, speaking of stories, before you started a new one, because we're probably going to run out of time because I have a feeling Sabre's going to call here in a second, but remember the story we did on Chicken Heart?
Yeah,
we did the story Chicken Heart while I was being chased around the yard by the crazy rooster that followed me everywhere.
That's right.
I love that story. I'm going to have to find that tape and that part, and I'm going to think, I'm going to play that again. That was probably one of our best stories was when Laurie started talking about the Chicken Heart, or some one of you did, and then we got a whole tangent, and I think we went on for like 20 minutes about Chicken Hearts.
Yeah. Shouldn't do that. We're known to do that.
We are.
I tell you what, I'm not going to take another story because you don't have a short one, and I know Sabre's going to be calling in a minute, and I've got just the appropriate song to go along with this story by the guy, Joshua Hammonds, who's going to be joining us later. And even though I usually wait to play the songs when the guest is here, this is perfect for this story. So I'm going to take a break. And then Sabre Ricci, I think, will be joining us as soon as we get back from the song. So hang tight. This is Joshua Hammonds, and the song is called All About a Can.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Friday at 5 and I just clocked out, heading down to the dive where there ain't no crowd. There's a pretty little thing behind the bar with a tight tank top and a push-up bra. She smiles and says, what will it be? Said I'm all about can in my hand. Don't need top shelf cause I'm a 12-pack man. On my boat or on land, on my back porch working on my tiki torch tan. Leave them liquor bottles alone, cause I'm all about a can. Yeah, well, I'm all about a can. Well, it's Saturday night and we're overdue. Got the candles lighting up, the dinner for two. My baby grabs a couple bottles of wine, holds them up and asks me red or white. Honey, you ought to know that ain't the way I roll. Said I'm all about a can in my hand. Don't need top shelf cause I'm a 12-pack man. On a boat or on land, on my back porch working on my tiki torch tan. Leave them old wine bottles alone, I'm all about a can. Mixed drinks are too sweet and I can't stand a Jaeger. Bottles will break, shots will break you. Said I'm all about a can in my hand. Don't need top shelf cause I'm a 12-pack man. On a boat or on land, on my back porch working on my tiki torch tan. Leave them liquor bottles alone, I'm all about a can. Oh, yeah, I'm all about a can. Yes, ma'am.
Joshua Hammond's All About a Can. Goes right along with those beer-flavored jelly-bellied beans. And guess what? Saber Ricci hasn't called in yet. You know, I saw a post on Facebook that she was taking a red-eye last night coming to Tennessee or something. Did she forget us?
Well, how easy we are to forget.
Didn't I almost forget? We're driving here. Didn't I almost forget? I'm like, oh, wait, today's Saturday. I got to do the show.
Laura, you've almost forgotten like 2 minutes before the show when I've seen you start boiling eggs or something. So don't.
Yeah.
Well, Laura, I guess you could have given us a long story, I guess, if I had waited.
I have a quick one about Nutella.
Oh, now you have a quick. Actually, I might need a long one. But go ahead with the quick one first.
I have a long one, so we're okay there.
Right,
no, I started to ask Aaron. Aaron, do you know Nutella?
So do I, but we won't go there. Okay, go ahead.
The flavor of Nutella is awesome, but it's so unhealthy that I don't like it at all.
Okay. All right, Laura, go ahead.
Oh, boy. I'm not crazy about Nutella. It's not even because
Nutella?
It's happening. I'm just not crazy. Yeah, I'm not crazy about the Nutellas.
Is it Nutella or Nutella?
Nutella.
Nutella.
Nutella,
okay.
Yeah.
Nutella.
But it says here, Hershey takes on the fast-growing Nutella. Americans apparently like smearing their foods with chocolatey spreads. I mean, my whole family, everyone I talk to, loves this stuff. So, the Hershey Company on Wednesday said it was introducing a line of chocolate spreads, including a hazelnut reminiscent of Nutella, which is a spread made by the Italian company Ferrero, which we all know that name, that has been taken off rapidly in the U.S. It says, wait to hear how much money this product makes. The move points to the strong growth in the category. Over the past 5 years, sales of Nutella in the U.S. have more than tripled to 240.4 million. In 2012, Smucker's also got into the game with its Jif hazelnut spreads.
I don't like
a Hershey's. What?
By the way, I just
you don't need.
You know what creepy crawlers are, Aaron?
Yes, I know what creepy crawlers are.
Okay, it might be before your time, but back when I was a kid, I used to make creepy crawlers. You had that little oven thing, and you squirt that gel into
yes!
it.
The gel into it.
And heat it up and make. They call them creepy crawlers. To me, Nutella smells like that gel that you used to squirt into the creepy crawler.
No, it doesn't taste terrible, but I'm not a huge fan of hazelnut. But it's so much. There's so much sugar, and it's just. They talk about it being a healthy alternative. It's the worst thing in the world.
I don't like it either. I don't see why people go for it, but I guess everyone has their taste buds. But anyway, Laurie. So
I didn't know what that meant.
I don't even know what's the story about again. What's Nutella doing?
Well, Hershey. Well, what's the story about? Hershey wants to compete. They're going to have their own type of chocolate spreads. You didn't listen. It said that in the beginning.
I was doing something else. Yeah.
I have a food-related story. Can we talk about it?
Of course. Should I finish my one line real quick?
Yes.
Of course.
A Hershey's spokeswoman says that the spreads are often paired with fruit. Yeah. But she says Hershey will play up the possibilities for its spreads in national TV ads. I don't know.
Are you done?
Challenge fruit.
That was the line that we had to have.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. Well, when you start seeing it on TV, you're going to think of me.
Can Aaron tell his Nutella? Are you done? Can he tell his food-related story?
Yes, he can. Yes, you can. Go ahead.
And when I finish this, you'll understand why it's a food-related story. Marlboro announced yesterday that they are going to be selling marijuana cigarettes in Colorado.
Really?
And Washington, they're going to be called Marlboro M, and they have been in talks with drug lords in Mexico to get their supply of marijuana for their Marlboro M. They will be releasing a $15 billion marketing campaign that will only air in Colorado and Washington. That will be by the end of this year, that marketing campaign will be going out. But their stock jumped from $83 a share to $993.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Are you serious?
I can't believe
it. Yesterday.
Wow. Wow. The stock market went down like 300 points yesterday.
Yeah.
Hit that. Wow.
Yeah. So it went crazy. But the reason that I say it's a food-related story is, do you know how
anything
easy it will be to market?
Anything marijuana is related to food.
That's what I'm saying. Do you know how easy it will be to market any product in Colorado and Washington after that goes live? All you have to do, you don't have to say anything. Just flash some ooey gooey cinnamon bun on TV, and you will get millions. Make it to where they can order it online and have it delivered to the house, and you'll make millions.
You're right, because the munchies kick in. I can't. This is a true story, huh? That they actually going to do Marlboro M.
Marlboro M. True story.
What's going to keep them from people from buying Marlboro M? Cigarette packs and then taking them home with them and smoking them anywhere.
Nothing stops people from out of the state buying it and taking it home right now. You can buy.
True.
What I'm saying is in Colorado they just announced that for consumer use. I mean you can buy a certain amount for personal use and it's totally perfectly legal in Colorado.
I heard that, but I didn't hear about the cigarette.
So there's nothing to stop people right now from going to Colorado, buying it, and driving back across state lines.
I haven't told Laurie yet, or you guys yet, but I'm thinking about when we start our new 24/7 radio show that we're going to change our headquarters when moving to Colorado.
You're not into that. Oh, please.
Yeah, but if you live in Colorado, I mean, when in Rome. So that's my food story, is that I think that we should, my food story alludes to the fact that we should start right now planning the delivery service of anything sweet in Colorado and Washington.
That's a great
idea.
We'll
deliver potato chips or cinnamon buns or anything you want that is sweet and food related. And all we do is just every hour pop up an ad that just shows panning across a table full of sweets and chips and salties and savory delicious snacks.
Hey, has anybody, speaking of that, and it is a great idea, but has anyone out there promoting pig candy? I mean, can you buy pig candy already made?
As far as I know, you can.
I don't know if you can, but that would be a great product to sell in Colorado.
Really would.
Yeah, look into that. Anyway.
Well, at least we know if the radio doesn't work out for us, we can always start a secondary venture in Colorado.
And well, you share it with everybody who's listening.
Deliver
food. Fencing yourselves.
There's 5,000 barbecue guys right now running, trying to figure out how to
running
pack pig candy
exactly.
in Colorado. Oh, well. Okay, so now, wait a minute. Aaron, are you done? Do you have another line to read or say?
I have one more line to read.
Okay.
So the advertising that they're going to run during the Super Bowl will only air in Colorado and Washington.
Really?
When the Super Bowl 2015 ad runs, since it's not legal in all those states, every
right.
other state will get a black screen with an M in the center of the screen, and smoke going across the screen will be the only thing you see while the ad runs.
No kidding.
Unbelievable.
No kidding.
Whoever their marketing manager is, it's wow, it's brilliant.
Yes.
Did you know that
read
that article? You wouldn't have never known that I read that article, would you?
No, I couldn't tell. Could you tell, Laurie?
No.
just in case you're wondering, that's how it's done.
Okay, Laurie, it looks like Saber Ricci has really just not going to show up, or she's got her time zones mixed up. She flew from Los Angeles to Nashville, and maybe she's got her time zone mixed up. So she ain't here, so I guess you're going to have to do another one of your wonderful stories.
Another one. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here. I have a long one here. You're going to be like kind of, you're going to be bored with it. I know you're going to be, well, no, it's not too boring. Okay.
Well, keep in mind,
coffee.
We have only 4 minutes till the Italian lady supposedly becomes on.
Let's hope she,
hey,
let's
way,
hope
the way
she
it's going, she may not show up either. Hey, wait a minute. Are we on? Hello, it's Testy 1, 2, 3. Okay. Go ahead. Do your story.
Okay. Your daily coffee just might jolt your memory. I've heard this before anyway. New studies suggest that caffeine not only wakes you up, but also may aid your recall. You know, I wish I could participate in some of these studies that they have people do. Why don't they ever call us and say, you want to participate in a study? Aaron, do you ever get calls where they ask you to participate in studies?
Yes, I get 3 calls a week. I'm not kidding. I get 3 calls a week.
Depends from here. Do you really?
Oh, yeah, and they pay you. Like, they pay you like $250.
I know they do.
I get 3 calls a week, but I signed up. I actually signed up to be contacted by a provider that does the clinical studies. So they call me, and I get to pick and choose which clinical study I want to do.
Well, what have you done?
Oh,
have you done any? What kind of studies have you done? Have you done any of these and made some money?
Oh, no, I haven't done any because they just take too much time.
Oh.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, you do. You have to show up, and or you have to go somewhere at certain times of the day, you know, during the week.
Yeah, you have to go to a place, and then you have to spend
days,
8 hours a day, going through the
mm-hmm.
initial portion of it. Then you have
mm-hmm.
to either try their product or their pill, their whatever, for 60
mm-hmm.
days. You have to go back to the doctor for evaluations every, like every week or some odd ridiculous thing, and then you have to go back at the end of the term for another 2-day debriefing type of deal to go over all your stuff. And I mean, that's just a lot for $250.
Can you
yep.
think about the number of people that signed up for that Marlboro M taste test?
Oh, yeah, that study. Well, that study, they've been doing that study for hundreds of years.
Okay, Laurie, back to your coffee jolt your memory story.
Okay, anyway, it says swarms of morning commuters clutch cups of coffee to kickstart the workday. But a new study suggests that caffeine might do more for the brain than boost alertness. It may also help your memory. So researchers from Johns Hopkins University looked at caffeine's impact on memory, and the study showed that caffeine enhances certain memories for up to 24 hours after it's consumed. But this would be fun. I wish I could do this. It says the finding that caffeine has an effect on the process of making memory more permanent Less Forgettable was one of the biggest novelties. Study included about 100 participants who were caffeine naive, which means they were not big coffee, tea, or cola drinkers. And coffee's caffeine contained various, they vary greatly. A 16-ounce cup of Starbucks.
Can I ask you, wait, one second. I'm going to tell you right now, the people who signed up for that study were freaking liars. There is no way they found enough people to do a caffeine study. Oh, a caffeine study? Yes, I'll gladly do it. I've never drinking coffee, tea, or soda in my life. I would just like 3 caffeine to try. There is no way those people were not pre-caught caffeine drinkers.
There's no such thing as a caffeine virgin, is what you're saying.
No way. Oh. Negative.
Okay, oh my gosh, I'm just scrolling down. I lost my
buddy. So that means you want us to fill dead air while you're trying to find your third.
Oh, here it goes. I just found it. Here it goes. Well, this is the study what they had to do. Okay. The participants had to look at hundreds of common everyday images on a computer screen, something like shoes, a chair, a rubber duck. And then they were asked to tell them if it was an outdoor or an indoor object, but we didn't really care about what the object was. We just wanted them to attend to the object, to get that object into their brains. So for 5 minutes after the participant images, half were given 200 milligrams of caffeine and the other half, like Aaron was saying, a placebo. They returned 24 hours later after the caffeine was out of their system and looked at more images of those objects. And then they were asked to label the pictures as were they old or new or similar or varied. And, for example, a picture of a duck they viewed the day before but taken from a slightly different angle. People who had taken the caffeine were better at distinguishing the similar pictures from the original ones.
I have to drink coffee and have caffeine just to understand these freaking rules.
The other part of this study, which I kind of think is a little bit crazy, is I can do the same study without caffeine and make you remember things better without caffeine. And it's all about, if I were to make a pan of lasagna and you sit down and I tell you something I want you to remember and I have you smelling the lasagna for 10 minutes before you eat it, then slowly eat the lasagna while you're looking at these pictures. A year from now, I guarantee you I can make the same pan of lasagna, make you smell it, take a bite of it. When you take a bite of it, you're going to remember the picture you looked at.
You're probably right.
I can put you in a room that I just envelop you in the smells and sounds and tastes and flavors and pictures. That's all going to come
true.
Back to you whenever you're eating that pan of lasagna.
Well, you know smell is, you can smell something and bring it back to something you remember as a child. Like my grandma used to make, certain dishes, and whenever I walk into someone's home or something, I'm like, oh, I smell city.
It triggers a memory that you haven't thought about in years, but it triggers that memory.
Yep.
Well, speaking of lasagna, watch this segue. We have our guest. That was really good. We have our guest calling in, and her name is Linda, and Linda is calling in. I think this is her. She's got a website called Linda's Italian Table. Easy for me to say. Linda'sItalianTable.com, and Linda's calling in to talk about Italian food. Linda Calabrese Hanks. I'm going to push this button. We should have our first guest this morning. Good morning, Linda. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. This is exciting.
It is exciting for you to be on Great Ideas Radio. I bet it's the most excitement you've had in a long time.
You've definitely made the big time.
Well, I think it's pretty cool. I'm happy to be here for sure.
Well, welcome to the show. We were just talking about lasagna. You heard that, and I thought, well, that's a great way to bring you in. And you are the Italiano lady that talks about nothing but Italian cooking. So tell us about Linda and your Linda'sItalianTable.com.
Okay. Linda's Italian Table is an Italian food blog, obviously. Started it back in 2010. Had been working in other areas for a very long time and got very tired of it and wondered what to do next. And while painting the back of my house, don't even begin to go there, I was trying to think of something, you know, what am I going to do next? And it just popped into my head. Everybody's been telling me all my life, do what you love, do what you know. And this is very obviously what I know, having grown up in an Italian family, both sides, and surrounded by good cooks and good cooking and very good Italian cooking advice. My whole life, I decided to take this turn, and it has been a ball.
Were you eating pizza while you were painting your house? Were you eating pizza? Is this why you had this this idea?
One would think I was eating absolutely nothing, but just let the mind drift, and it didn't have to go far, because I had been immersed in this world growing up, and then as an adult, just I guess got the reputation over time of being, you know, the one to call for Italian food and the one to talk to about Italian food, and so there we go. But I do specialize a little bit, which makes me a little bit different from several other Italian cooking sites or blog sites. I try to stick to regional Italian food and try to instruct as much as possible about the differences in the regions in Italy and how they affect the food, how the climate and the terrain and the history in the different areas have affected the Italian food. People think of Italian food and they think of spaghetti and lasagna and, you know, all the usual suspects, pizza. Right. And Italian food can be very varied and different. And there's a lot more to it than that. And I try to educate as much as possible about the differences in the regions. And it's really fun.
Very interesting. Now, you've got a book that you just came out with. It's called For Love of, I'm probably going to destroy this. Is it For Love of Crostini?
Crostini, yes.
And what does that mean? Because I'm really stupid when it comes to Italian. What does that actually mean?
Crostini are little bites of bread, small toasted pieces of bread with all kinds of toppings on them. And in Italy, they use crostini, they use bread a lot in food. For instance, if they're serving soup, they'll put a piece of toasted bread or stale bread in the bottom of the bowl and pour the soup over. And it's very common to find, you know, bread used this way. When I make crostini, I paint it first. Paint meaning taking the brush with a little olive oil
there's that painting again.
There you go. It just sneaks in there, doesn't it? But I do brush the pieces of bread and toast them a little bit in the oven or on the grill and give them some good grill marks. And top them with all kinds of things, from pestos to short ribs to pork tenderloin. The book is full of all kinds of toppings and recipes. And all of these toppings, the neat thing about it, I think, is that it's not just for crostini. It's these toppings can be used in other ways. They can be used on fish or pasta or served over mashed potatoes, for instance, with the short ribs. And there is also a chapter on sweet crostini, which you don't see very much, that you can serve after dinner with a liqueur or an espresso or something like that. And they're made with fruits and sweet things and chocolate and all kinds of goodies.
Would they go good with beer-flavored jelly beans?
Absolutely.
You have no idea why I asked that question, probably. So you've got this book. It's For Love of Crostini, and it was just recently published. How long has it been out?
Yeah, it's just been out a few months in ebook form, and I'm presently trying to get someone's eyes on it to publish in as a print book. Everyone who has seen the book in ebook form has said it must be a print book because it's a visual. It's really a beautiful thing visually. There are tons of photographs of Italy, some from my father's hometown, beautiful food photography, and it's just filled with these beautiful pictures, and it lends itself, I think, really well to a print book.
Now, so the actual e-book, I assume that's you get it like on a Kindle, is that right?
Not out on Kindle, but you can get it on my website. There is a book page on my website, Linda's Italian Table, under Linda's new e-book, and there's a whole page on what's in the book, how to order it as an iBook, as a PDF, and how to gift it to someone else.
Oh, interesting. Now, you also do a newsletter, and I guess do you do a blog also on your website?
I do. The blog comes out every Tuesday, usually on Tuesday morning, with a brand new recipe in it. And it's not just a recipe. There's commentary in there and very often stories that are connected with what I'm making. It could be something instructional about regional cooking as relates to the recipe, or some memory that I've pulled out of the cobwebs of my brain from growing up in that Italian kitchen, and I might run on about that a little bit. And so there's a lot there along with the recipe and, yes, the newsletter as well that comes out about once a month.
And it says you also, I was reading some of your bio stuff here, that you do Italian cooking classes. Where do you hold your classes?
I hold the classes right in my home. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and conduct them as I am contacted in my home. And they are regional classes. And each one of them devoted to the cooking of and ingredients of a different region of Italy. And we also have wonderful wines served from the region that we're dealing with, and everyone kind of likes that. So it gets pretty lively in that kitchen.
Hey, Aaron, you still with me?
I am.
Are you a big Italian food guy?
Next to barbecue, it's the greatest thing on the planet.
There you go.
Yep.
You mentioned a little while ago about the crostinis, and you're putting pulled pork and other things along with it. So just a question, do the folks in Italy, do they barbecue like we do here?
You know, very good question, really. They do a lot of grilling using wood fires. Their pizzas are cooked in wood fire grills, and, of course, they have those big, fancy, expensive pizza ovens in some of the restaurants. But your average Giuseppe in Italy doesn't have one of those, and they cook very often on wood fire grills. They're known in Florence, for instance. One of the most famous grilled dishes in the world is bistecca alla Fiorentina, which is steak Florentine style, cooked out on the grill. I've got a great recipe on the site for grilled leg of lamb. And, yeah, Italians do a lot with outdoor grilling using mostly wood.
Yeah, and you're right. I think most people, when they think of Italian, they think of the pizza, the lasagna, the spaghetti and all that, and pasta.
Mm-hmm.
And what you're doing is taking it to the next level to show that that's not just Italian. There's other things, too, that people do. And if people want to find your book, you say all they have to do is go to your website. And you also have a Facebook page that people can contact you on. And that's also called Linda's Italian Table. You can find Linda
it sure is.
There. And we wish you the best with your book, and keep us posted. If you come out with any new publications or anything, you're always welcome to come on the show. And if you had anything else you want to add, any more promo things you want to tell everybody about, you're welcome to do it right now.
Well, thank you. Nothing coming up right now. We're still promoting For Love of Crostini and having a lot of fun with that. But I appreciate the invitation very much, and I definitely will keep you up with any news on this book or another or anything else we're doing that's new and fun and different in the Italian world of cooking. And
well,
thanks so much for having me.
Well, thank you. And I think the song I'm going to take as we go to break is appropriate with Linda and her Italian food. We're going to take a couple-minute break. We'll come back. And, Laurie, I need you to hang tight because I need some more food news. And are you still with me, Aaron? You going to be hanging in here for the rest of the show?
I am, but I need to crawl underneath this car real quick. So I may have to run for just a second. And then,
All right. Well, Linda, thank you very much for joining us. And I think this song is appropriate. Lady and the Tramp. We'll be back here in a couple of minutes.
Oh, this is the night. It's a beautiful night. And we call it a bella notte. Look at the skies. They have stars in their eyes on this lovely bella notte. Side by side with your loved one, you'll find an enchantment here. The night will weave its magic spell when the one you love is near. For this is the night when the heavens are right on this lovely bella notte.
The night, it's a beautiful night, and we call it bella notte. Look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes on this lovely bella notte. Side by side with your loved one, you'll find enchantment here. The night will weave its magic spell when the one you love is near. For this is the night and the
back. We thank Linda for joining us this morning from lindasitaliantable.com. Check out her website, go to her Facebook page. And Laurie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, Ron, are you back?
I'm still here. I didn't go anywhere.
Oh.
You didn't go into your car?
No, I didn't go into the car. It's kind of cold. I came inside for a minute.
Kind of cold.
Speaking
by
of
the way,
cold, it's snowing here again, by the way, and
oh, that's because
freaking cold. But don't talk about Florida being cold. What's it like?
It's 50? It's 45. That's cold.
That is cold. That is cold. That is cold.
I have to wear a sweater. So, it's cold.
I forgot the word sweater.
Because I know where y'all are at. It's either shorts and T-shirt or full down jackets.
Yes. Well,
where
right
I'm
now
at,
it's snowing its butt off.
It's short. Yeah, where I'm at is shorts, T-shirts, flip flops, and then shorts, flip flops, and a sweater. So,
I've been wearing a parka and gloves. And
what I was going to say that I do a nice mix of grilling and Italian, because when I make my sauces, I grill all of the vegetables before I add them to the processor to start my sauces. And then once in the food processor, then they cook on the stove, But I grill all of my vegetables. All the garlic and onions and tomatoes and everything gets grilled before I make my sauce.
You're amazing.
Yeah, you are amazing.
Amazing.
We'll just start calling you Mr. Crostini.
I can't wait to come down and meet you so you can cook for us.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely cooking. We'll have a spread. I don't know if you'll like it, but we'll have a spread.
I'm gonna love it. Yeah. Hey, look, I'll bring the wine. As long as I have wine, I'll like anything.
Hey, Laurie.
That's right.
We've got about 10 minutes, and I know that you're probably like just like killing you. You didn't finish your coffee story, did you?
You know, I knew you were gonna ask me. Yeah, no, I pretty much did. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Good God. Yeah, I pretty much did. I mean, they just found the survey like the ones who had the coffee remembered more of the objects than the ones who didn't.
Okay. If you don't have a story, then I guess we can sit here and twiddle our thumbs for the next 10 minutes.
No, I have other stories.
All right.
Okay, here you go, guys. If I say the word cinnamon, what do you say?
Barf.
What did he say?
If I say the word cinnamon, what do you say?
Fun.
And I said barf. Because cinnamon by itself, the first thing in my head is the cinnamon challenge and trying to eat a tablespoon of cinnamon.
you have a lot of things you don't like. I've noticed that.
You're not understanding. I love cinnamon.
I just like to what you think.
But when you say cinnamon by itself, have you ever tried the cinnamon challenge?
No.
Take a thing of cinnamon, fill up a tablespoon with cinnamon, and try to eat it.
You can't. You would probably choke. It's like eating imaginary sugar. You would gag without it.
Yes, because it doesn't go down. It doesn't absorb moisture. It doesn't do anything. You will literally start choking until you barf.
I think of buns. So, Laurie, do you remember when we were kids? Maybe, I don't know. Did you do this, Aaron? Did you guys have cinnamon toothpicks in school?
Yes. Soak some cinnamon oil.
You soak them in cinnamon oil. I think of buns and also make a cinnamon toothpick.
We didn't have that in school, cinnamon toothpicks.
Yeah, you used to wrap them up in oil and you'd sell them for like a nickel. And I, matter of fact, I made a pretty good living off of those for a little while. I could buy my lunch by bringing in cinnamon toothpick.
Between cinnamon toothpicks
that wasn't a Jersey thing, that's for sure.
Yep, cinnamon toothpicks and pitching quarters at the wall. That was how I made my living.
Still do, I guess, right?
some days.
Actually, my sister-in-law made me cinnamon raisin French toast this morning, and it was so good.
Okay.
It was so good, sticking the cinnamon.
So
anyway.
What are we supposed to think of when we say cinnamon? Did we say the wrong thing?
Sugar. Cinnamon
sugar.
And sugar.
I wouldn't think of sugar.
You wouldn't? Evan, wouldn't you think of sugar after you barf?
if I get past the cinnamon challenge, yes. Cinnamon toast, crunch, cinnamon toast, cinnamon sugar, yes.
Yes. Most people, when you say cinnamon, they say sugar.
I actually, when you say cinnamon, the first thing that I think about all reality.
Cinnamon sticks?
It's French toast sugar. French toast sugar.
Oh.
I mean, how do you not think of Chef Brett McKee whenever you say cinnamon and sugar? And that's insanely good.
That's
sugar.
Right.
Oh,
I had another thought. I think of Fireball, too. That's another thing I think of.
Oh, those are hot.
No, the whiskey
Fireball. Oh, yeah. I know. You guys. We have a story about it, but we can't talk about that on the air.
Yeah, we won't talk about that right now.
No.
So this little test of cinnamon and playing around with cinnamon, what does that have to do with your story?
A little tidbit I'll read to you. Anyway, it says, it's a popular combination, of course. Well, here we go with the health. If you're interested in the health-promoting effects of cinnamon, you may want to think differently about the spice. And I knew this for a long time, that cinnamon is really good for you. Executive chef at Bourbon Steak Restaurant in Washington, D.C. says, why not add it to savory dishes? He uses cinnamon to create a spice and herb rub for his lamb. He also whips up a great spinach salad with raisins, pine nuts, and cinnamon. See, now that, I don't like cinnamon in my food. I like it for a dessert.
Yeah, I found that out.
As we know.
I made chicken wings, and I put cinnamon on them. thinking and Fireball and cinnamon, and actually it wasn't bad, but I overdid it with the cinnamon, but yeah, she didn't like it, and she told me so.
Yep, I did.
Yeah.
She told me so. I was trying to be very nice because he's so sweet, and he cooks every night. Like, how do you tell someone who's, you know, who's cooking for you, and he's looking at me, and I'm like,
you just say barf. That's what I said. That's the first thing that comes to mind whenever you think cinnamon. It's barf.
I'm like, it's kind of sweet. It's kind of cinnamon sweet.
Anytime there's cinnamon in food, it makes me think of Mediterranean food anyway. So it sounds like it would be good.
Yes,
on like
that's
a, like,
right.
I can handle it like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, Chris, you have to be glad if you did something to it. You should.
See, the right, just right now, there's moments in this show where we have complete silence, and then there's moments in the show where we all three try to talk at the same time. We've got to figure out how to do it, like, one at a time. Right? We have, after 2 years, we still haven't figured that out yet.
We will never
figure that out.
Doesn't
make radio fun. No, we won't.
Okay.
Unless we're all in the same
room
together.
See? We've got to be talking together, but as soon as we're sitting in a room together, all of that will go away.
Yes,
I said
you're
that.
Right.
It's true. Yep.
You got
to be quick on your feet.
Yeah, Laurie said that at the same time we were all talking.
All right, now we'll say this. All right, we'll do it this way. Laurie, it is your turn.
Okay. Yay! Here we go. Okay, so when you start to look at the potential health-promoting effects of the spice,
so I
there's even more incentive. I'm telling you, I'm a Jersey girl. I'm quick. I can stop in a heartbeat.
Anyway, go ahead, sorry.
Start talking. It says there's even more incentive to experiment with it in the kitchen. So here you go. Cinnamon comes from the bark of trees. It has been long considered a medicinal plant, and there are several varieties harvested from southern China to Southeast Asia. For years, there have been hints that adding cinnamon to your diet can help control blood sugar. And a recent spat of studies
that is a fact. The it does help regulate blood sugar.
Oh, see, have you been using it for that?
Oh yeah, I've used cinnamon because I make a drink in the mornings of mm-hmm. apple cider vinegar, lemon juice, cinnamon, and
wow.
That's kind of my drink. So that's kind of a drink to help regulate my blood sugar. It's a small amount, but
apple cider vinegar is. I mean, you could take like a spoonful every morning for the rest of your life, and you'll have beautiful skin. It does. If people Google apple cider vinegar and benefits, they'll be blown away.
You combine that with a little bit of lemon juice, cinnamon, mm-hmm. it even gets better. Don't forget the honey. Honey is a sweetener.
Yeah, honey.
So it's honey.
Yeah, because the
vinegar,
cinnamon will lay on the top. You might choke from the cinnamon, like cinnamon, like as a powdered cinnamon, it will lay on the top of it. It won't go, like, it won't blend. So you got to add something to the cinnamon.
You got to mix it really fast. And then shoot it down. So that's really the only way. Otherwise, the cinnamon just sits there, and then you start choking
right.
and barf.
So choking, see, that's what I'm saying. Or concessionary sugar. Put that on top, and you'll get there.
Are y'all done?
My nephew, on a side track,
we're trying to regulate blood sugar here. I don't want to put confectioner sugar in there.
No, I know. You wouldn't want to. I'm teasing about the choking. On a side note, from the squirrel for a moment, my nephew was so cute when he was little. One time he had a cookie with powdered sugar and he gagged on it. He would never touch powdered sugar again. He always thinks he's going to gag. That's why I think of powdered sugar making a choke. But anyway, that's a side note. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for that squirrel note.
The squirrel. Anyway, that makes the findings of interest not just to the 25 million Americans who already have diabetes, but also to the 80 million other people who have elevated fast blood glucose levels. Is that what you have, Aaron? Do you have elevated,
say that again now.
You have elevated blood glucose. How do you say glucose?
Glucose
levels. Glucose levels.
Yeah, that's what it is. When your glucose levels are elevated, you start to get the insulin doesn't absorb, and you have insulin resistance, and that's what I have.
Mm-hmm. But you're doing like much better from your paleo, right?
Oh yeah. Since Thanksgiving, I haven't been doing very well at all. And it's those darn holidays just throw you totally out of whack. So no, I haven't been doing well since Thanksgiving. But we're getting back to it this week.
That's okay. When you're ready, when your mind is ready, you'll go back. You got to get, like, you know, you got to get into it. And the cold water doesn't help. You know, you're not as active.
Yeah. Because it's 45 freaking cold degrees there. You're not as active there, I'm sure, in Florida.
Yeah,
it's 45 is cold. Degrees. It is. When you're used
degrees,
to, like, warm weather.
Yeah, we'd lock ourselves in the house with the heater on and try to start a fire, and everybody's bundled up in blankets. And it's, I mean, it's miserable. I mean, nobody's on the roads. There's nothing happening. Everything's shut down. When it gets below 40 degrees, Jacksonville is over.
Hey, our friend Gina's in Miami, and she was cold. What was she's posting 55 or something. She said she was cold.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, well, that's spring.
Okay, so are we still talking about cinnamon? I forget.
Yeah, here we go. For people who already have diabetes, cinnamon is not an alternative to medication, but for people with pre-diabetes who are interested in using diet to manage their blood sugar, it's one of many strategies worth considering. The evidence is still inconclusive, but cinnamon is inexpensive and it tastes good.
Have you ever noticed all the stories where they have these studies, they always say the studies are inconclusive? So why are you having the study and why are you telling us this?
It's inconclusive, but.
All they're doing is covering themselves if somebody choked on cinnamon because they're trying to regulate their blood sugar. Listen, I told you the study was inconclusive. We don't know. I didn't tell you to go suck down a pipe of cinnamon. I just said, hey, it's possible. It might somehow, some way
cinnamon
help.
Stick like a celery stalk. Chew a cinnamon stick like a walk around like a celery stalk.
I have noticed that with all the stories where you always talk about these scientific tests, first of all, I bet you that was probably sponsored by the cinnamon board, but it's always like there's never a conclusive study. It's just like, well, we think so.
It actually was done by the Nutrition Business Journal, but I never like to say that. It gets boring. I don't like to read people's names.
Did you know who owns the Nutrition Business Journal? Cinnamon Growers of America.
They probably do.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
But hey, but that's not conclusive, though.
Yeah, don't quote me on that because that's inconclusive information.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, gosh,
well,
you guys,
know,
it's funny this morning. You're on a roll.
Are you done with your...
I'm done. I have a little quickie.
Speaking of inconclusive, this next song I'm going to play for our next guest, who hopefully will join us, is Joshua Hammond. The song is called Nothing's For Sure, so I think that's probably a good time to go a segue to this song. We'll be right back with Joshua Hammond.
I met a girl in Austin, Texas, at a roadside saloon. Couple of winks led to a couple of dreams since she led me to her room. She opened the door, her dress hit the floor. Turns out that her was a him. I heard him say, if you swing this way, you'll never go back again. There's one thing for certain, nothing's for sure. Sometimes what you're looking at ain't what you're looking for. When you think you got it all figured out, you better figure just a little bit more. There's one thing for certain, nothing's for sure. I spent a week, one night in Vegas, and my last dollar in a slot machine. Took a gamble, pulled the handle, money came a-flying at me. Started playing hold'em, but I had to fold'em. Turns out it's not my game. I chose to call and I lost it all, so I went home the way I came. There's one thing for certain, nothing's for sure. One day you're a rich man, the next day you're dirt poor. Sometimes in life the risk you take ain't worth the reward. There's one thing for certain, nothing's for sure. There's one thing for certain, nothing's for sure. Sometimes what you're looking at ain't what you're looking for. When you think you got it all figured out, you better figure just a little bit more. There's one thing for certain, nothing's for sure. Nothing's for sure. Nothing's for sure. Yeah.
That is Joshua Hammond. Nothing's for sure. And nothing's for sure today on today's show because Joshua hasn't called in yet.
Oh,
so,
no.
There's one thing for certain. We're having an interesting day, but oh well.
Well,
if
I'm
he calls
here for
in,
sure. And Alan's here for
if
sure.
If you're freaking listening and telling him to call in, she's supposed to be monitoring these people. So I don't know if she's gone to sleep or what, but anyway.
Everybody almost forgot about the show, including me.
I guess. Oh, wow.
Oh,
well, Lori, do you have any more? Do we need to make up some stuff? Do you have any more stories you want to tell us?
I have a few. Yeah,
well,
I
guess this is going to be the Lori and Aaron and Grant News Hour.
I think so. I think what happened was with her flight, I think she forgot.
Because
I saw that she did post a red eye, and I we'll have to forgive her for that. And we love her.
Oh, wait. I think. I see someone lighting up. I think Joshua
Yay.
Is here. Hey, Aaron, you're still with us, right?
I don't know if I would qualify myself as with you, but I'm here.
All right, I believe our guest is calling in, so let me push this button, and we should have Joshua Hammond calling in here. Let's see here, push the button, Grillion. Good morning, Joshua. I hope this is you.
This is me.
Hey, yeah. Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be on for sure. I wasn't sure what time to call, so I was just kind of listening in and checking it out, so. My bad.
Well, you're here. That's good. That's all that matters. And, dude, I love your music, by the way. I've had over probably, I don't know, close to 120 people on this show since we started Singers. And you rank right up there as one of my favorite. You got my kind of music and really like the stuff. And that's some of the songs I know you sent to us are, I guess, they're kind of debuting on our show today. That was an older one that we just played, but great stuff, and welcome to the show, and we wanted to have you on to find out what you're up to. You're calling from Nashville, right?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee right now.
So how long you been in the music business, and how'd you get in the music business, and yada, yada, yada. Tell us all about Joshua.
Man, I've loved music since I was a kid, and on my mom's side, my grandpa played banjo and piano and guitar and wrote songs, and they were funny songs, nothing ever really trying to break out or be serious about it, just doing it for fun. And I guess I just got that gene, and I've always loved music since I can remember. I'd always get in trouble at school for having at the time my Walkman or my little radio transmitter deal, and be listening to it all the time and in class. And I think the teachers finally gave up on telling me to turn it off because I'd still get my work done. So I would just be talk in class and make everyone laugh and whatnot. And they figured, well, if he's going to be, listening to his music and getting his work done, I guess we might as well just let him do it. So, but it's always been a part of my life. And I ended up in Nashville.
Well, I noticed that you also work for a guitar company. So that kind of helps too, that you got, your quote unquote real job is with guitars. And what do you do? What do you do for the? Is it? I often forgot who is it. Gibson guitar?
Yes, it's Gibson. I work for the custom shop. When I first moved here to Nashville, I've been here about a little over 2 years. I worked at Staples, and that was no fun. And they would mess with me about my piercings and my tattoos, and I get it. It's that kind of place, but I promised them that they would buy people would buy a copy. They didn't seem to agree. So I finally got on with Gibson, luckily, after months and months of trying to get in there, and I got hired on. I actually, I get to work on, I'm in final assembly. So what I get to do is I solder the pickups and the assemblies together, you know, the knobs and the tone knobs, the volume knobs and the output jack and everything. And I've gotten to do some really cool stuff. I've gotten to work on guitar for, what's his name? Oh, there's so many people. One of the guitars that came through the shop was actually for, I can't remember.
A very famous musician, I'll bet you'll say.
Yeah. I'm having a brain fart. Horrible.
That's all right. Hey, we every week for an hour and a half. That's all we do is those. So don't worry about it.
But it's entertaining. I've been listening. It's very entertaining. I dig the show for sure. I'm a fan. So. Yeah.
I noticed that while I was listening to your music. Is that you playing the guitar in most of these songs?
I'm doing a lot of the rhythm stuff. Usually my co-writers are doing a lot of the lead stuff. I like to focus on, I could always get better at guitar, but I've just been a rhythm player pretty much my whole life, and, you know, why try to learn something that some of these guys around here, especially in Nashville, you know, you can't throw a stone without it, and someone that can play guitar or sing or do something in the industry. You know, these guys have already got it figured out. So most of the lead stuff's done by my co-writers and whatnot.
Well, it's good stuff, the guitar playing in the background and your music and your singing. Now, let's play another one of your songs, and this one's called Dixie Is Her Name, and we'll come back and chat with you, find out what you're doing there in Nashville. I understand you're actually playing along with one of our other guests who's been on here, Tara Tinsley, before, and she used to be on the show about a year or so ago, so hang tight, everybody. We're going to play Dixie Is Her Name, Joshua Hammond. We'll be back to talk to Josh in just a few minutes.
Well, she's all about sweet taste and porch swings when the sun's sinking low. Southern belle who can love like hell, she don't speak slow. She's a football game on a Friday night, she'll keep you on your toes. With a 10-point bus in a jacked up truck, she'll put the back road in your soul. Amazing grace, can you hear the sound? The roots run deep in the southern ground. When she takes her home, you'll never be the same, and Dixie is her name. Well, I said Dixie is her name. Yeah. Well, she's a dime piece with her hair teased, her legs as smooth as sand. Queen of the sticks with ruby red lips, she burns going down like gin. She's a drinking song and a honky-tonk, kind of tunes I love to hear. With a bite inside a country mile wide, she puts some Hank in the hemisphere. Amazing grace, can you hear the sound? The roots run deep in the southern ground. When she takes her home, you'll never be the same, and Dixie is her name. Well, I said Dixie is her name. Well, she's the red dirt in my veins. Slow you down, show you round, and make you want to stay. Amazing grace, can you hear the sound? The roots run deep in the southern ground. When she takes her home, you'll never be the same. When Dixie is her name. Well, I said Dixie is her name.
with Joshua Hammond. Dixie is her name. Great stuff, Joshua. And before we go on about a little bit about what you're doing in Nashville, I don't know if you heard us talking earlier, but are you and A.A. Ron by chance long-lost twin brothers?
You know, I'm starting to think so. I've been seeing pictures, and I'm like, man, this guy and I
could
definitely pass brothers.
we may have been separated at birth. That's very much a possibility. But
we
he
might
is
have
way
to get together
more
after the show and check the ancestry, the tree, to see where
go.
We might have lost course.
Ancestry.com and finding out, but you're way more talented than I am. So I think the separation is somewhere way down the line.
Well, you never know.
He's talented in music.
Yes, very, 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 very talented. And I said earlier before we went to the song that you're playing in Nashville, and I see that you've been recently playing on the stage with Tara Tensley. You and Tara, are you traveling together? Or is it just a happenstance you guys got together somewhere in Nashville?
We met up at one of the bars here doing the open mic thing, and she's a great person. She's very laid back, easy to get along with. She's a pretty girl. She was digging my tunes, and I love quite a few of her tunes, and she wanted to write. And we actually, I don't have the song here for you guys to hear, but we wrote a song together. So we've been working. We're actually working on getting some more dates to write together. But yeah, Terry's great about her music. And just I love being around her. She's a great person. So she's a really cool girl.
So what are you up to in Nashville? Where are you playing? Are you just going from like bar honky tonk to, you know, just wherever you can find the gigs, or you got anything that's going on a standard basis?
I with working at Gibson, man, they're sticklers about us being there on time and there when they need us. And so I play when I can in the evenings, and I've made this year, you know, all about trying to get some stuff really written and pushed to some publishers and get my music out there, you know. And I was thrilled when you guys, you know, talking to you guys about getting some stuff on here. So I mean, yeah, just playing everywhere I can. And I played the Bluebird, which is a really big, like, historical place to play here in Nashville a couple weeks ago, and that was a great experience. It's a place where actually people sit and listen, you know, and they come there for the music. And playing a place like that, you know, as opposed to like a honky tonk where people are just drinking and there might be a bar fight in the back, you know, it's awesome to hear. It's awesome to hear, you know, to get feedback from your songs, and that was a great experience for me.
It's good stuff, because I really mean it. I like that type of music that you play, and you're writing. Did you write all these songs, or did you co-write with some other folks?
Yeah, actually, Nothing's For Sure, the one about, which I always start with them, because the first, you know, verse talks about you meet some girl at a bar, it turns out it's a guy.
Right.
Because Nothing's For Sure. And people look at me like, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard. And I get so much, I mean, that's the icebreaker. You know, you want to start off with a song like, okay, what's this guy all about? I start with that one, and I mean, everyone always gets feedback from that one. So, but yeah, all these songs I've written by myself or co-written, or just depending on what song. And like with Nothing's For Sure, I wrote it with Stone Eiley from Charlottesville, Virginia, who's actually moving back down to Tennessee. I met him working at Guitar Center. And we also, another co-writer on that song was, his name's Bobby Boyd. He actually wrote Two of the Kind working on a Full House for Garth Brooks.
Huh.
So you never know who you're going to, and we met him at Guitar Center. I mean, you just never know who you're going to run into or who's going to want to write. So it's always a surprise, but, yeah, it just depends on, where you're at and who you know, kind of thing, with who you're writing with.
I didn't mention it, but I will now. On our site here, we've got a link to Joshua's Reverb Nation, site, and a lot of the songs that we're playing. Well, actually the songs we're playing here today, I don't think are even on the site, except for Nothing's For Sure, but, check him out on Reverb Nation. Just click it and go to his link. Now, do you have a CD, Joshua, or is it just the downloads right now?
I have had funding for a CD, ready, and then it gets pulled, and it's ready, and it's pulled. So I'm just kind of waiting on, you know, when it's ready to just take the money and run, and record some stuff. But I've got tons of songs. Half of them aren't even on my Reverb Nation page. I'm actually going to work today on getting the ones that are brand new that I posted to you guys. I'm going to get those on there for everyone to check out. But, yeah, I'll definitely keep everyone posted on my CD. I'm working on getting everything together for it.
Well, I have to ask you a question. What does it cost for you to – you said you had the funding pulled, but what's it cost to produce a CD nowadays?
Depends on how good you want it to sound. And that's the bottom line. I mean, how I ended up in Nashville, I went to school for recording in Arizona. And I actually interned at Martina McBride and John McBride's studio here in Nashville, Blackbird. There's a lot of good musicians out here, and the thing is, there's a union, a musicians union. So you're paying these guys top dollar. I mean, of course, they'll come in and hear the song once and play it, you know,
right.
And it'll be perfect. But, I mean, that's really what I think the cost is. You know, studio time, you can find a good studio in around here. It's just getting the musicians, you know, with the same idea about the song, and you got to really know what you want on the song when you record it. And I think time and musicians, you know, is really where the money, where you're either going to spend not a lot or a lot, depending on if you have your buddies play, you know.
Right.
So I think that's the biggest thing with the money.
Well, I think it's really great music, and I enjoy it, and I wish you the best because I think you're really talented, and I like the sound, and it's a little bit different, and kind of has that honky-tonk, you know, bar sound, and I love the writing. And
plus, you're a really sharp-looking dude. I just thought I'd show that. For that.
You as well, my friend. You as well.
And I want to play your last song as we let you go. The song we got here is called Between Her Rock and a Heartache, which is also a pretty cool song. And the lyrics, everybody listen to what the lyrics have to say. And Joshua, you're always welcome back. If you want to come back and introduce some new music to us, just let us know. Let Carol know, and you can come anytime.
Hey, that'd be great. I'm looking forward to it. I'd definitely do it again.
All right, great. Thanks, everybody. Check out his website. You can find him on Facebook, and then go to the Reverb Nation. I'm going to play a song. It's called Between Her Rock and a Heartache. We'll be back here after the song to close out, and we'll be right back.
It's safe to say I've made a few decisions. Ruined my life. I got a hand on this bottle and a ring that belonged to my wife. Well, she left me alone, and the liquor is all that remains. Lord, I'm going through hell between her rock and a heartache. Thanks to old bourbon whiskey, that good girl ain't coming back home. Yeah, and wishing she'd miss me made me realize the good days are gone. I'll stumble sober, lay in this bed that I've made. Lord, I'm going through hell between her rock and a heartache. Shining like the love she'll never feel again. And although you may love him, well, Jim Beam ain't no kind of friend. And I need no reminder, I'll never find her. It's almost more than I can take. Lord, I'm going through hell between her rock and a I've made. Lord, I'm going through hell between her rock and a heartache. Lord, I'm going through hell between her rock and a heartache.
There you go. That was Joshua Hammonds, Between Her Rock and a Heartache. And what a great, great talent. I think he's going places. And, guys, we have got about 3 minutes to shut her down. Hey, Ron, do you got anything else you'd like to add? Anything about the barbecue world or the food world or anything you want to say about marijuana cigarettes? Go for it.
No, I think we've pretty much covered all of that good stuff. I'm ready to fire up a cooker and get to cooking something. But other than that, I think we have made it through another successful week.
Well, put on your sweater and keep working on your car. And, Laurie, did you have anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Not me. I have nothing.
You have nothing, unless it's written down. You got no more stories, right? So
no,
I guess I will close out the show.
Family.
I'm trying to find my list. I can't even find it. Anyway, next Saturday we've got another great show with foodies and some music. And thank you for joining us. And by the way, we were back in the top 10 again this past week. And we
Yay.
Appreciate everyone's support. And we couldn't do it without the listeners and the support we get on Facebook and everybody sharing our show link and all that. And if everything goes as planned, we hope to be doing this 7/365 if we ever figure out how to get the funding all lined up to do that. But thank you again for
all
your...
I think we'll be ready to launch by 2024.
No, we're going to do it in 2014. We got to figure it out. So everybody, thank you so much for all your support, and we'll be here next week again. 11:30 and 1 Eastern time. And if you want to be on our show, guess what? All you got to do is contact us. If you're in the food world or the music world, or heck, if you're just in the world, if you want to be on our show, just give us a call or send us an email, and we'll try to get you on. So thanks again. We'll see you next week. Have a nice weekend, and take care, everyone.
Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.